Hotline, Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Tennessee Titans fall to the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday in London, 24-16. Titans fall to 2-4 on the season going into the bye. And joining us now to break it all down is TD Teron Davenport. TD, I'm bummed after what I saw on Sunday. I thought it was, you know, just dumb, stupid mistakes like the Jeffrey Simmons penalty, a drop pass to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in the end zone. But overall, what would you have to look at as the biggest reason or reasons that the Titans lost yesterday and are now sitting at 2-4?
Yeah, I think it was a tale of two halves. You look at that first drive, they worked their way down the field and they got the field goal. But after that, they really couldn't do much. And there were problems, you know, offensive line-wise, you know, Tannehill getting pressured a lot, guys not getting open at times. It was just a lot of things going wrong. And it was one of those things where the defense, as Jeffrey Simmons always says, they have to come in there and put out the fire. And they were only able to do it but so many times. You know, you keep adding that sudden change and, you know, those type of things. And it's a lot of pressure to put on one unit. And I think defensively that was – pretty much the only group that, for the most part, showed up.
Yeah, I mean, only, you know, limiting the Ravens to one score in the red zone. I thought the red zone defense was probably maybe the only bright side of the game yesterday, but still overall, that defensive front doesn't seem to be the elite force that I expected it to be. But bringing up Jeffrey Simmons, I'm glad that you mentioned him, because in the locker room after the game, he said, we need to find out who wants to be here. We need to figure out who wants to play for the Tennessee Titans. What did you make of that? How do you interpret that?
No, I think he's 100% right. They want to find out, you know, who's going to – it's self-evaluation. And I'm actually working on a feature on Simmons, and I was looking back on my notes and just thinking about some of the things that he told me along with his brother about their upbringing and just how they've gotten to this point. And, like, you really understand the passion and emotion that he has. You know, you look at last year after Jacksonville, the season finale, you know, he broke down in tears when he thought about the adversity that he went through that season, you know, shooting his ankle up and those type of things. So, and even if you ask the coaches, right, Terrell Williams, the defensive line coach, he always says, you know, I put on film of Simmons rallying to the ball and what he does. And it's like, if a pro bowler like that could do it, all you other damn guys could do it too. That's what he says. So, yeah, I mean, it's nothing new as far as, to me, Jeffrey Simmons, you know, challenging his team to elevate themselves. And I think as a captain, he's doing the right thing. And then even beyond that, he also said that it's not just the captains that need to step up. You know, everybody, whoever has something to say, that's who should step up and you know, speak their word.
And that was what was so emblematic of yesterday, because you just, the last guy you expect to have a penalty like Simmons had, happened. Like, I couldn't believe what happened there. And I kept looking back at what set him off there. And I don't know exactly what was said there, but that was very costly. Instead of a 3rd and 7, it's a 15-yard penalty, and they go in and cash in, the only time they cashed a touchdown in. So that was just poor timing there.
Yeah, no, it was reactionary, and I'm not excusing at all, because you have to keep your cool. But we know Jeffrey Simmons, that engine runs hot a little bit, you know what I mean? So things happen, and he reacts. And actually, Odell Beckham Jr. knee dropped him. And so naturally, first reaction was to get up and push him. You know, that's what happened. But, of course, the one who always gets caught is the second person who does something, not the first.
No doubt about it. So, Teron, we've talked about this. It's a roster that is not loaded with talent. You're not going to confuse it with the Eagles or pick your roster that you think has the top-end talent there. They have to overachieve. And so that's what really stung about not only the foul by Simmons there, but the mental mistakes of not lining up right, even attempting to catch a punt. Like, 99 times out of 100, Kyle Phillips is probably going to just catch the punt. We never think about it. But in retrospect, he might as well have just let the ball drop, because there was nothing to gain by catching it. But all of these things that really set them behind, it really hurts extra, because they don't have a Patrick Mahomes or somebody that is going to overcome mistakes like that.
Yeah, there's no eraser. That's the big thing. And you're right, that Kyle Phillips return, that's an example of what Craig Aukerman has said multiple times, is he wants the returners to be aggressive but not reckless. That was reckless. Let the ball just bounce out of bounds, or into the end zone, rather, and, you know, go into halftime, not down by three more points. I think that was the major thing, and you can't do that. And some of these mental errors, like, they can't afford for this team to win, right? Everything has to go right, everything, because of how tightly sealed their method of winning is. That's the only way it's going to happen. Like, you can't have ground for multiple turnovers. You have to, you know, get maximum performance from multiple guys on offense. Like, it's not one of those situations as much as it used to be in 2019, where it was like, hey, in 2020, just give the ball to Derrick Henry. He's going to do everything and mask it all.
Teron, how would you evaluate the small window that we saw Malik Willis get thrown into? Because, albeit, it's not an ideal time. They're having trouble protecting the quarterback, which is why Tannehill gets injured to start with. Mm-hmm. And they're in a situation, they're down two scores, and you really can't run the ball. So all that factored in, what did you see from Malik?
Yeah, I mean, he does need to get rid of the football. There are opportunities to do that. I think for him, don't press as much, too. It seemed like he was just really pressing to make a play, case in point, where he almost broke through that tackle at the goal line and almost was able to punch it in. Live to see another down. I think that's the main thing. And it's easy to say that, right, when you don't have Jadeveon Clowney and Justin Mudabuke and these guys, you know, Kyle Van Noy bearing down on you. But, you know, you have to be a little bit more aware of the situation and know that you can't take the sack, get rid of the ball. So I don't think it's a real opportunity to get a true evaluation of him. I think if Tannehill can't go, I think Malik Willis should be the guy. Let's go ahead and see how things are for him when you game plan the full week, you know, leading up to the game, and you have stuff installed to maximize his talent. I think that's the case. And, you know, it doesn't work out, then you put Levis in. So that's how I look at it.
It's not easy to know right now when Tannehill will be available again. I'm curious, especially going back to training camp with Levis, the time he missed, and the fact that compared to C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young, who were getting the first-team reps. Forget about how much they played in the preseason games, but they were getting the first-team reps in practice every day. And Levis was getting, at best, one-third while he was playing. And then, on top of that, missed several days of the training camp. So it's hard for me to even come up with any evaluation of what's happening behind the scenes. It would be a total guess. What's your sense of how he's progressed, if any, since the beginning of the season?
Yeah, actually, I talked to him 2 weeks ago. I talked to him about that very thing. And he said that he's starting to see things, like, slow down a bit for him. What they're doing, because I talked to Charles London, too, the QB coach, they're coaching them while they're running the scout team. So they're comparing, like, different, you know, concepts and things like that, you know, and those types of things, and bringing them along, coaching their technique, et cetera, as they're running scout team. And they're, for the most part, splitting time, Willis and Levis on scout team reps. So that's kind of how that's coming along. He, from what I gathered, he's doing a lot better in the classroom, too, asking questions and just being patient. So I think there is somewhat of a development there, but, you know, nothing is going to prepare you like actually being in the game and playing the game. So who knows? Maybe he could come in and that'll be an opportunity for him to show some of the things he did back in Kentucky.
TD, Teron Davenport is with us. TD, the Titans are going to have to be faced with some difficult decisions here in the next couple of weeks, by and then Atlanta and then the trade deadline. When you look at this team from a 360-foot view, 2-4 at the 6 games of the season, how many of these problems do you think are personnel related, and how many are coaching related?
I think a lot of it is more personnel related than anything, to be honest with you. And the offensive line, I mean, look, Mudabuke got the sack on Dillard. That was the play that Tannehill got hurt. And they switched it up the next series. Nicholas Petit-Frere was there at left tackle. So let's see how that works out. But I think you look personnel-wise, you know, they just have to get more time for the quarterback and open up better lanes for the running backs. I mean, there are some times where you do have some big-time plays, but I think, you know, defensively, guys got to, you know, Arden Key, he had a really good start to the year, and he's getting some pressures and things like that. But, you know, they need those guys up front to drive that defense the way it was projected for them to do. So I think it's a personnel situation. I don't think, you know, the scheme outside of, like, you know, you got the ball at the 1 yard line and you don't run Derrick Henry or even have him on the field. That to me is a coaching issue. That's bad coaching, you know, but I think, you know, you look at some of the other situations, it's more personnel.
TD is with us. Diana Rossini wrote in The Athletic a list of teams that could be active at the trade deadline, and the Titans were mentioned in that list. Do you expect the Titans to be active at the trade deadline? How much of these next 2 weeks will, you know, decide that for them? And do you think anyone would be off limits?
I mean, Jeffrey Simmons, he's off limits. I don't think much else. Many of the other players aren't off limits. But there's no telling. I mean, that's one of those things where you believe it when you see it. I mean, there's all types of grumblings and things like that. And we know what Rand Carthon said before, right? If you're not being nosy, you're not doing your job. So I would imagine that there's talks, you know, they're checking to see, you know, what's what, but I don't think that there's going to be much action, to be honest with you. This is a team that they still feel they're in the race. And I mean, frankly, they are still in the race. It doesn't look good right now, but you look at how many players have said, yo, we were 2-4 in 2019 and went to the AFC Championship game. That's the mindset. Like, they have a never quit mentality. So I don't think it's likely that they go in the towel and deal some players, you know, Kevin Byard, Henry, et cetera.
Teron, despite that, I agree with you. In that locker room, that's the attitude you should have. I just sit here and think about, I don't think I had that thought in 2019 or whatever year that was, that they were 2-4, that they had that big of a mountain to climb. I felt like, and they were at a different stage of salary cap and the window and everything than they are now, where they know, regardless of how well they did this year, they have major decisions to make at the end of the season. So let's just say Rand Carthon is being nosy, just laying the groundwork of what's out there. Who do you think would have trade value? Let's take Byard and Henry and Tannehill aside. Obviously, Tannehill's injury probably takes him off the board for the most part. I don't know what you could get for Henry, but other guys that, if you're a GM, you might be calling Rand Carthon and say, you know, I like this guy. Who would be on that list in your mind?
Yeah, I think DeAndre Hopkins comes up right away. I think, you know, Arden Key, Denico Autry, those guys come up because you could always use pass rushers. So those are options. I don't think they would trade Amani Hooker, but, I mean, I would imagine he would have some value. Those are pretty much the main guys that come to mind for me right away.
Just something to keep your eye on. You have a better feel because I think sometimes we get caught up in the star players, and it's not always those guys that end up being the trade piece. Like Desmond King a couple years ago, that's the type of player, you know, could be helpful. Desmond King came in and really helped the Titans a couple years ago. They traded a draft pick for him. And this team is short some draft picks over the next couple of years. So just getting those picks, even if it's not a first-round pick or a blockbuster deal, that could be something you think about if you get to that point. And I'm not saying that they're there yet.
Yeah, that could definitely be something. And then, you know, once the draft comes around, there's always that opportunity to trade back. So that's something that you could see them do. I think it's 6 picks they have this year in this upcoming draft. So, yeah, they definitely could use more. I just – the value of trading, you know, a Denico Autry for a 6th-round pick, I don't Yeah. Do you really need to do that? You know what I mean?
Maybe not for a sixth. If you get into a conditional fourth that could become a third, then you know, you start getting to a point where you do consider it, right? If it's a certain level of package.
Yeah, but I highly doubt that would happen. You know, realistically speaking, I doubt, you know, that would happen. Like, they don't have guys on there that's going to dictate, you know, whether it's age or contract or just, you know, underperformance right now. They don't have guys that's going to dictate, you know, a third or fourth round pick, in my opinion.
That is one thing that I've tried to keep in mind when looking ahead at what the Titans could do at the trade deadline. It's one, is the pick that you're going to get in return more valuable than that player's worth to your team? And two, TD, for me, it's, I understand, you know, D-Hop or Derrick Henry or any offensive players could be, you know, potentially a topic of a trade conversation. But how much do you want those guys, the Henrys, the D-Hops, there for a young Will Levis coming up and, you know, having weapons for him to throw to and weapons for him to utilize as he's coming up and getting experience as possibly an eventual starter this season if Tannehill can't go?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing you have to consider. Mm-hmm. If you are going to see what you have in your young quarterbacks, you need to be able to give them options to hand the ball or throw the ball too. So that's a big thing, and that's another part of the, okay, how much does the pick outweigh the value of this player on the roster, helping me get a better understanding of the quarterback who, if we're not good and he's not good, then we'll be drafting early. That's the way I would look at it, mm-hmm. you know, if I was them.
We've had a lot of texters in our text line today saying, well, you know, Malik Willis didn't get a fair shake yesterday. Coming in down to scores with an offensive line that's been struggling, blocking all season long. Where are you at with your evaluation of Malik Willis and where his ceiling is?
I still just need things to speed up for him. That's the one thing. Everything has to speed up. He has to be a little more aware and know, you know, not to take a sack, get rid of the football, et cetera. And that's just that clock that has to speed up. But there's still so much to him as far as like dynamic playmaking possibilities. And he has the mobility. He has, you know, the arm to push it down the field. Just need to see more. And, I mean, you saw spurts during the preseason, but it just wasn't enough to really be like, okay, you know what? He should get the keys to the car.
One point that Willie made earlier today was the Titans have placed so much priority and so much importance on getting in third and short, third and three, third and four, that they're so much more successful on third down when they don't have to overcome, you know, third and 12. And really, for the most part this season, when the Titans are in third and five or shorter, they've been able to convert. But yesterday, I felt like, and we were discussing this, Billy and I, earlier, they were in several third and manageable, third and short situations, but still couldn't convert. Why do you think that is?
Yeah. You know, the main thing is I would have to put it on the penalties, you know.
Yeah.
Because you look how they had the first down, right? Derrick Henry, Wildcat, big game. You know, up to that, he hadn't really, you know, been able to do much, but that was a big game. But then it got negated by that penalty. And so, I mean, it's a variety of things that they continue to mess up on, you know, covering up the tight end, false start, or all of these things, and they're so avoidable. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, but the penalties, they not only come often, but they're always at this such untimely times, you know, third and 26,
so
pass interference, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
that's the big thing, that's the problem.
Offensive and defensive penalties, always. You know, it's a third and 16 against the Browns. You get a DPI, hand him a first down. Just the most inopportune timing. But last one from me, TD. Titans heading into a bye week this week. What do you think is the most important thing or the biggest priority for the Titans over these next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it's just reset, right? You got, you know, 2-4 is the record. Don't feel like the season's over. Just reset and come back Monday or whatever day it is, Tuesday or whatever it is, ready to go. I think that's the main thing. But it's real important for them to reset, because just how things are going right now, it seems like it'll quickly get to, oh, here we go again. You know, and I think if they could just recalibrate their mindset, so to speak, I think they will be fine.
Tron, as we let you go, you have a better pulse of the locker room than anybody, in my opinion. And that comment by Jeffrey Simmons, you know, it maybe can be taken out of context. We got to find out who wants to be here, et cetera. But just in your opinion, do you think this locker room is tight and will be okay? Is all the other problems we know that they have, but what about the locker room sticking together?
Yeah, I think the locker room is tight. And some of the things that I've seen differently from other locker rooms I've been in is, like, you know, case in point, Tier Tart and Mason Kinsey talking about basketball, you know, high school, how they played basketball. Mason talking about high school basketball. Tart talking about how he played growing up. You don't normally see a lot of interaction between wide receivers and defensive linemen. You know, in fact, their lockers are on total opposite sides of the ball. I think, you know, DeAndre Hopkins putting that pop a shot in there, it seems like a small thing, but the guys gravitate over to it and they have fun on it, you know, and that's interaction and just, I think it is a tight locker room. I mean,
so you don't think there are people that don't want to be there? I have a hard time thinking that that's actually a problem.
No, I don't think that's the case at all.
TD, appreciate you as always. We missed your in-person coverage yesterday, and you're always thought-provoking questions in the locker room, but appreciate you for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
No problem. Take it easy.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. We'll react to what TD had to say there and that question, Willie, of the locker room. TD doesn't think that there's division there. So we'll discuss that and your calls and texts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.